We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hello out there. This is Rihanna MP, and I am jumping into this episode of Gamertag Radio to say a few words about the LA County wildfires and what you can do to either find or provide resources for people here in our hometown. So first off, if you are in LA, our hearts are with you. We're watching the Watch Duty app every second and praying that there are no more homes or lives affected. If you are looking for resources, there is a website called recovery.lacounty.gov. That's recovery.lacounty, all one word, .gov. And they have many different places that you can go for anything that you're looking for, so for support as part of the Eaton and Palisades fire disasters. If you are looking to provide help to people here, first off, thank you. We will need it, and we will need it for a long time. The best place I can recommend that you go is called pledge2/blog. That is pledge.to/blog. And click on the article from January 11th, 2025, titled LA Wildfires, How to Donate and Support Trusted Fundraisers Now. This is a compiled list of many different fundraisers, and all of them have been vetted, and we're guaranteed that the funds that you provide will go directly to the people in need here for the relief effort. So whatever causes move you, please consider contributing whatever you have to spare. People here are going to need help for years, honestly, to rebuild what has been lost. This tragedy cannot be overstated, and there are people hurting all over the world. But right now, I'm asking, please keep LA in your hearts. I love you all. Thank you for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1389. This is your host, Danny Pena, and also joining me on this week's episode of GTR, we have Pete. What's up, Pete?
What's up, dude? How are you?
Good, good. You know, we already talked about this pre-show before the recording. We were talking about what's been happening here, the fires here in Los Angeles. You know, Rihanna, I know the intro of the podcast, Rihanna talked about where you guys could donate, how you could help, and all this stuff. Thanks to everybody that's been contacting us, checking in just to see if we're okay. Thanks to the community, our friends throughout the industry, and all that stuff. So we're doing good. We just, you know, seeing all these houses, man, burn down. It's sad, man. Really, really sad. So, but if you guys could donate or help in any way as possible, let's make it happen. Let's get together and help out, man. You know, it's a lot of people that are going through some tough times right now, man. So how's everything over there, Pete? Your area?
It's cold.
Like really, really cold?
It's really cold. Like I gotta wear like these big thick slippers.
Cool.
But it
looks comfy though. It looks really comfy.
Oh, they're mad comfy, bro. They're mad comfy, dude. House shoes for the win. No, it's like averaging like -1, -2.
I'm good, bro.
Let's see.
You have a house or an apartment?
It's an apartment. It's an apartment.
Is it very warm inside in there? Is it very warm or?
Well, all right. So Switzerland housing 101. As you're aware, because you know during the summer I hate podcasting because it's hot because we have no air conditioning, right? First world country, Switzerland. Everybody thinks it's beautiful, and it is. If there's any government officials, look, hey, you're watching. I love it here. I don't want to leave.
Yeah,
but we don't have air conditioning because traditionally it was never hot enough to need air conditioning here. Over the last 20 years, that has increased, and we're not going to go into the cause or reasons why, right? You know, for global warming or whatever. But the housing and the way the houses are built here, like these walls that you see around me, solid concrete. Everything is designed to keep heat in, not allow it to leave. So there's no air conditioning here. The only thing I can do is either open windows if it's hot. And if it's not, we do have underfloor heating. So all the floors here, all throughout the living room, kitchen, bathrooms. When it gets cold enough, I just have to adjust the heat and turn it on. You know, it takes about a day to get all the coldness out of the floors. But yeah, it is kind of comfy when you wake up and like feet hit the ground and it's nice and little warm. It's nice and warm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I was just checking the temperature today. High of 1, low of -4. Tomorrow, high of 0, low of -4. Tuesday, low of -5. So that gives you, you know, that's in Celsius, right? That's, you know, non-freedom units. But that gives you an idea as to the weather here. It hasn't snowed, but it did snow during Christmas, and it snowed a few weeks before that in December. So we're expecting a really cold winter this year because, surprisingly, this summer wasn't that warm. Mm. But, you know, that's life here in Switzerland, right? I mean, people always think of Switzerland, you think of snow peaks and...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, oh, it must be cold.
You know, so, like, snow. I mean, yeah, you could... And that's because we live in a valley. So in a valley, the lowest part of the valley actually isn't as cold as the upper parts. So I can look at the mountains behind me and, wow, when you say that, I'm just like, man, that just sounds...
That must be nice.
Must be nice, right? That sounds boozy as hell. But yeah, the mountains behind us do have... they do have some frost or snow. And the much larger mountains absolutely have snow on it.
Well, everyone, head over to GamerTagRadio.com for your comments and feedback. We're there. Actually, I posted our first episode of GTR Retro on Thursday. It was very interesting seeing the feedback from everybody. Recorded 17 years ago. Man, how times has changed, man. Talking about Paris was like, yeah, I would like to be like a Kotaku. Paris said that back at 17 years ago. You know, they're very independent. People were talking about... how 1UP is one of the top sites, 1UP.com. Oh my God. Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, the next one, I'm looking around. I'm seeing people posting a lot of like requests. I'm looking around to see which one I should post next, you know. But I was also listening to multiple episodes a couple days ago because I was like researching and stuff. And I found a couple where Pete used to call in through the phone because he didn't have the equipment. I don't remember this at all. Some were using the microphone like Rock Band because they didn't have no microphone. You know, that was like Poston and Mandy back in the days. I found one actually, Halo Reach. P and I, we went to Best Buy in Miami. Mm-hmm. And we went to a bar nearby. And then we walked to the store and we were like, oh man, there's not that many people here. What's going on? It's not the same. This is Bungie's last game. Halo game, I mean. And we talked about that. Yo, I found like a bunch of classics. I'm like, yo, I don't remember none of this.
So I have some as well, actually, just before the show, I was listening to episode 345.
345.
The last day of E3 2012.
Okay.
Aldate was there, the hip-hop violinist guy, who was my PA for E3. He helped push me around because I was in a wheelchair because I had destroyed my ankle like a week or two prior to that playing basketball. And then Butters was there. That was the infamous Star Wars 1313 episode.
Yes.
So yeah, that was 2012. I was listening to that. I was also listening to the interview with Albert Pinello and Aaron Greenberg.
Oh, that's Xbox One?
Xbox One, Titanfall. We talked about his love of manga and robots and stuff like that. Yeah, it was a good episode, and also the GamerCast Network panel at PAX 08.
You know, somebody requested that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, somebody wanted me to. I'll probably put that one. Cause that one we talked about, like, you know, podcasting. You know,
like, and it's not just us, right? It was. I believe it was Doc was there, Nelson, Chris Palladino, maybe Chris from Merry Gamers,
Jay from Mocha Gamer,
Jay from Mocha Gamer for sure. It's funny because Paris wasn't there.
I know he's never around. I know he's watching, but he's never around. He's watching.
No, but that was a good episode as well too.
I might put that one. That one sounds
no. It wasn't. It was Chad from VGS.
Chad, yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so yeah, so make sure to stay tuned and remember, if you're listening, you can find us on any podcast app. Just subscribe, follow us, post a review. It will help us out a lot. Now, I do have something to say. Actually, I'm planning to post this tomorrow morning, early morning. We have an announcement to make. Hey, Gamertag Radio listeners, you know, the past two decades now, we've been releasing content nonstop every single week, sometimes multiple times a week, or during our E3 events, it's multiple. You know, I think the most we released in just a week was like 50 something episodes between me and the whole crew. You know, shout out to Pete in Paris. So we have a big announcement to celebrate Gamertag Radio's 20th anniversary, and it's going to be all year long celebration. Of course, we're going to be releasing content nonstop. But on January 24th, we're going to have the CEO of Microsoft Gaming, Phil Spencer, on the podcast. We're going to have a great conversation about everything on Xbox and also celebrate Gamertag Radio 20th anniversary together, man. So, you know, thanks to Xbox, the team over there. We've been talking out for months, actually, for a while since last year, to have Phil here on the podcast. I know Phil has a very busy schedule, so I'm very excited to see him being part of this episode. The last time we had Phil was back on our 1,000th episode of Gamertag Radio. So this is going to be the third time that he's going to be on GTR, and I'm very excited for this interview, man. So just want to throw it out there, man. We're Paris and I are actually going to do the interview, and shout out to Phil and the Xbox team. Remember, January 24th, we're going to have him on the podcast. So it's going to come out that day. Be on the lookout to the podcast platforms, also on my personal YouTube channel, and on X too. It's going to be available there. So that's it, everyone. That's the announcement. Phil Spencer on the show. Until next time. All right, so let's go with the first news here. So, B, I don't know if you got to see that Xbox is coming back with the Developer Direct, and it's happening on January 3rd. There's going to be four games, three already announced. You know, I'm excited to see Doom. I'm excited to see South of Midnight. Also, Sandfall? They're playing Sandfall. Exhibition 33.
South of Midnight, Clair Obscur, which is Exhibition 33. Doom the Dark Ages.
Yeah, so there's one that hasn't been announced. It's an unannounced game. Nobody knows what it is. I'm thinking, is it I don't see it as a AAA game. I could see it maybe as like a Hi-Fi Rush vibe, maybe. You know, I could definitely see that. I think if it's going to be like a really big, huge game, we probably will see that announcement maybe during the game showcase in the summer, you know, Summer Game Fest around that time, or Gamescom. I guess definitely see that. Do you have any idea what could it be? Any guesses? Is it a new game? Is it a returning IP? What do you think it is? And for those who are watching, please post your guess, because I'll read it over here.
I mean, it could be a handful of things, right? We could see something from Avowed, could be something from Fable, Indiana Jones DLC.
No, it's an announced game, not DLC. It's an announced brand. It's an announced game.
Did they say that?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's an announced game. Okay.
Well, so it's when you go to the actual Xbox Wire, there's like an image with a question mark, which they did that. They've done that in the past. I can't remember which one it was, but like Half-Life Rush, it wasn't like this because it was just like a shadow drop out of nowhere. This one, they're promoting as an unannounced game. You know what I'm saying? So. Somebody said, Paris says, and Paris mentioned this to me, I think it was yesterday. He thinks it's Forza Horizon 6. People say Minecraft 2. No, not Minecraft 2. I don't think Minecraft 2.
I mean, it could be God knows what, right?
Yeah.
Could be Towerborn. It could be replaced.
No, but Towerborn is already announced. It's unannounced games. Remember, an unannounced game.
Yeah, but how guaranteed are you that that, just because it's got that image, it's unannounced?
It's been promoted like that. I'm telling you, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Thing. Okay, wait, let's see. All right. So see, one of our listeners says Final Fantasy 16 coming to Xbox. It can't be that. It's an announced game. It's unannounced. Something that hasn't been announced at all. So we'll see. I think it could be I can see Forza Horizon 6. I can see that. That makes sense. I think that would be cool. But see, and Aaron Greenberg said it. It's unannounced. Read, Pete. Read. That's from Paris, Pete. All for you.
You know what? I'm gonna ignore anything coming out of that man because he's not even on the show. He could be in the chat, but he can't be on the show.
I know, right?
So whatever for that.
Hater. Anyways, I think it's gonna be cool. I think it's gonna be really, really cool. And we'll definitely talk about how about the presentation. Look, I gotta give it to Xbox. I think the past couple years, and I know Tina joined the team too. Her and the team have been doing a great job on like with Developer Direct, with the game showcase. Really good with the editing and like the interviews with the developers, behind the scenes look. It's been always great, man. So I'm very excited. Very, very excited to check it out, man. All right. So the next thing is Nintendo Switch 2 leaks. That there's so many fake and real leaks. I don't know which one is what, but there's a lot of Nintendo Switch leaks, man. It's ridiculous. Like Nintendo, she's just already announced and show the console because it's getting out of hand. The amount of crap that I've been seeing online, man. But are you curious, P, about this Nintendo Switch 2, man? Like, are you curious to see what type of specs or the look, the design? And plus, for me, I think it's more about the games. I'm very excited to see what is the new stuff that we're gonna get to see from Nintendo. I think the console is gonna sell no matter what. Because I know there's been talks about, like, you know, this console is not going to have OLED screens, and some people say it will. But here's the thing, even if it doesn't have no OLED screen, it's still going to sell like crazy, you know, because it's Nintendo. You know, it's not no Steam Deck or anything like that, you know, but it's going to do pretty good with numbers, man, you know.
Well, I think people, if you're looking for like the argument part of it, right, and you're thinking that this is a competitor to Switch, or I'm sorry, the competitor to the Steam Deck, you're sadly mistaken, right? Sorry. I got it. I already got it. No. If they're two almost, yeah, they're handhelds, but I think that's the only commonality between them, right? One is designed for power and to be able to play multiple platform titles from, you know, whereas the Nintendo Switch is dedicated for the Switch ecosystem, and we're never expecting to get K resolution and 4,000 teraflops. No, it's all about video game experiences, and that's all that matters, right? For Nintendo, it's all about the games and the fun and the experience. It's not really truly about breaking down the barriers of technology. That said, like I said last week, I'm great that it's coming out. I just don't think it's for me right now. Again, things could change based on what they release with it alongside it. So that's my opinion. And I know this is probably going to lead up to the conversation we were talking about that we've got scheduled up over here. But, you know, there's conversations of Xbox titles headed over. So.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But here's what I think. I think that if it's based on, I'm going back from the original Switch announcement, I think we're going to get to see the hardware. Maybe show one or two very quick first-party games on screen. And it's more about the hardware. And probably going to show some older games from like the older Switch in there, people playing and stuff. But I think there's going to be a time where we're going to get to see like a press conference of all the launch games that's coming out, either that day or later that year. You know, I think we're going to get to see something like that. Potentially, I could see maybe like a Mario Kart, people playing outdoor or something, you know. We'll see when they show the console. I think that makes a lot of sense. And speaking about that too, P, like I could definitely see, like, you know, Activision with Black Ops 6 below for launch, something like that. Maybe other Xbox titles potentially might be here too. You know, I think it would be cool to have like a Sea of Thieves or, you know, Fly Sim, maybe Halo. That's the rumor. We'll see. But I think it'll be really cool. But remember, the announcement is not going to be all about games. That's all about the hardware. You know, let that shine and then talk about the software after, you know. So what games you would like to see, Pete, as like a, you know, if they show a little clip of something? I personally would like to see a Mario Kart 9. I would love to see that. Maybe Metroid. I think Metroids have been announced. Why not show that? I think that would be cool. Show that very quick.
Co-op is all about, I mean, it's the device is partially a big co-op thing, right? So anything co-op based is going to get some excitement, in my personal opinion, right? To be able to, the ability to disconnect the Joy-Cons, put it up on the table and have multiple people play. So yeah, games like Mario Kart, I think that's perfect for that, right? I think that's like the perfect launch title for a Switch device. Splatoon for me is always fun because it's just silly ridiculousness. Games like that, anything co-op based, I think is going to be your perfect launch titles for those things. I just don't know if they would be system sellers. I could see maybe Mario Kart as the system seller for it, but I'm maybe not as big as one of the other tentpole Mario titles.
I think they should balance it out. Have a game that's like for everybody, you know, and then have like the hard. I think Metro will be like for like the hardcore fans that knows about Metro. You know, the usual, the casual not gonna know what Metro is, you know what I'm saying? So, but I could see also maybe show Nintendo Switch Online features very quick. Like, let's say, because if you're subscribed, you could also play like Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis games. You know, probably show that of like people playing like some old games on a console, you know. I'm excited that all the games that I purchased from the original Switch, I could transfer that over to the new console. I think that's going to be cool. But I would like to know is like hard drive space. Like, is it going to be small? Is it going to be a lot? You know, because do I have to buy an additional, you know, storage to add it to my console? You know, because that was the struggle that I had from the last console, you know? So, because I think it's the same too for, it's the same exactly too for a Steam Deck, right? Like, it's not enough, but people always have to go in and upgrade and expand it, you know?
I mean, in today's technology, the way M.2 drives are coming out and the cost dropping, I don't see why we wouldn't be able to get a 1 terabyte, 2 terabyte type device or more, right? I mean, I'm looking at my PC right now and it's got 3 M.2 drives. Hell, I've got a spare one right here with a terabyte. It's this big. So why can't we have a 2 terabyte, 2 or maybe even 4 terabyte drive in there and be able to load games up? I think it's absolutely possible. So I don't think drive space is going to be an issue, and memory being cheap as it is and being hardwired into it. Yeah, you can absolutely do that. But I would, with it now being an NVIDIA mobile processor, I can absolutely see it. And I can see potentially it having the ability to upload to, was it 2K 1440? So I think that's a better safe space for it as a desktop console type device. And then obviously when you plug it into your deck and you put it up on your TV, yeah, you can get your 1080 at that point. I don't think 4K is the benchmark for a handheld. And I don't think it should be. I think, and even in today's space, I mean, 1080, I think, and 1440 still the two perfect resolutions. I remember us having a conversation with Michael Pachter years ago about the, you know, the adoption of 4K in the home. And yeah, that was what, maybe 8 years ago. I think it's much closer to it now, so it's probably more common to have maybe 4K TVs in the home, but it's gonna be a lot more. You're still gonna have a lot more 1080s out there.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And here's the thing. I know people have been saying, oh, could it be multiple SKUs? It's no Switch. That's not their vibe.
Switch. Let's go, Danny. Get on the hype train. Let's go.
I can see that with PlayStation and Xbox, but Nintendo, they're not gonna focus on one thing only. Maybe in the future they have like a Nintendo Switch 2 XL or whatever, you know, that I can see in the future. But like now at launch. Here's the thing. I do agree, and I know Pirates and multiple people have been saying this here in the chat, for those who are watching or listening. I could definitely see, you know, a $399 price announcement. I could see that, you know, $399. Now, having a $500 Switch, I don't see that, because Nintendo has never been a company where when they announce a console, they have it expensive. That has never happened. So $399
too much.
$399, I could see it. I could definitely see that. Seems like this might be the highest price point I can see from Nintendo, man. So, but yeah, let's talk about this, Pete. Let's talk about, you know, we've been having this conversation about Xbox going multi-platform now since last year or so. It looks like, and this is all rumors, guys, all rumors, more games are going to come out multi-platform. It's coming out for PlayStation 5, and we'll definitely talk about two other games that's coming out supposedly for Nintendo Switch too. So they're saying that Gears of War is coming to the PS5 this year. What do you think about that, man? And also, I forgot, Microsoft Flight Simulator, I could definitely see that, 2024. And the Halo Master Chief Collection are also being planned to come up on Sony's console.
Well, they've already talked about that first full wave of ports anyways, right? Halo, Pentiment, Hi-Fi Rush, Sea of Thieves, and Grounded. To see other titles like that, we talked about this on the show last week as well. It's no longer about the hardware for them. And don't be surprised, in my personal opinion, if they go full ecosystem available anywhere. And that's, I think, one of you two talked about it, or, and I know Paris and you talk about it on Twitter all the time. Y'all put it like the whole this is an Xbox conversation. It's not about hardware sales. They've never made money on the hardware. It's always been a software deal. Microsoft inherently itself is a software company. All they care about is getting you into their ecosystem and playing games. We know Game Pass is the undisputed leader for that. I just don't know whether it makes enough money for them. Because look, video games is expensive. And I don't know if subscriptions can pay for those, you know, for the full development cost. I mean, they just dropped hundreds of billions of dollars on Activision and the ZeniMax acquisitions. So they've got a steep uphill battle with regards to reclaiming some of that expenditure. I don't think it's a bad idea, because they need to reclaim some cash. And let's just be honest with that. And the best way to do it, start selling your titles elsewhere and allowing other people. And look, we've been saying it for years. It doesn't matter where it shouldn't matter what hardware you play on, as long as you can play the game that you want to play, where you play with your friends or wherever you choose to play. I don't care whether you play on a Switch, on a Vectrex, on a Steam Deck, on a PC. I don't care, as long as you play. And I honestly don't care your choice. I mean, it's who am I, just because, you know, I'm some talking head on a website and podcast. As long as you play where you want, you're having fun. It's all that matters to me, dude.
Exactly. Exactly. Right? Yeah.
So yeah, is it potentially scary that we might be seeing a Hellblade 2 or what have you on a PS5? Are we going to see Gears of War, you know, the Ultimate Edition or whatever, or Age of Mythology? Hey, that allows more people to play a game they may not have normally played simply because of, and look, I'm not even trying to even talk about the whole console war thing. Some people have a preference for PlayStation versus some people have a preference for Xbox. Some people have a preference for PC. For Nintendo Switch, or like me, I'm a preference for PC. And look, if I can go, and yeah, might be a year after, but if I can play Miles Morales on my PC, or I can jump and I can play, you know, Gears of War 5 when it comes out in 2027, great, fantastic. But it allows me to play in any other location. And look, if I can do it on this thing, on a Steam Deck, when I'm traveling, it doesn't matter, as long as I get to play the games. And that's all I really care about, being able to play the games I want to play when I want to play them, where I want to play them. It shouldn't make a difference how and where. Yes, some people are going to have that preference, but to me, I don't.
But here's the thing. These are old games, so like, how is that going to like hurt you, you know, as a fan of these games? I think it's great to see these games like on other consoles, because now there's people that have never experienced these games that now they're going to be part of the ecosystem, part of learn more about the lore story, and they'll see why, you know, a game like Gears of War, the first one, it's so good. People are going to get to play that for the first time. And supposedly, according to other publication, I think this is from Windows Central, they're saying that Ninja Theory Hellblade 2 And also Age of Mythology is also coming out. Potentially Gears of War 1 Ultimate Edition, which is a great, great version on that one. But like Halo, it is going to look weird seeing Halo on a PS5, but hey, it is what it is. I think here's the good thing about hearing these episodes of like GTR Retro for like these old content from like the past two decades of GTR. You know, hearing our conversation, what was happening at that moment years back, it was like a totally different conversation, man, on like about exclusives, you know, the way how we were covering games back then, you know, the sites that were around at that time that's not around anymore. You know, it's time has changed, man. I know people are either afraid or doesn't like change, but it's about to happen, man. The industry hasn't been growing like before, and the only way that we're gonna get to see, you know, more success for the all these publishers is to making moves like this. You know, Sea of Thieves that came out on PlayStation 5 last year, it was a huge success. I think it was like number one for a while if you go to the store of PlayStation, you know. So like,
yeah,
I see that.
I think it was the month of May or something like that. It was like the biggest selling title on in their archive. That's great. That's fantastic.
That's great. You know, Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just saying that taps such a massive funding opportunity for that specific title that it may not have had because of, you know, the years that have gone on since its launch. The other thing that I do want to talk about, I know that I've seen it mentioned in the chat as well, because I did have it in my notes as well. At that point, you have to make cross saves a default option and functionality on titles when you start doing this. Because when you start saying, you know, everything is an Xbox, you got to make cross save. The cross save becomes so much larger of a requirement as a player, because if I want to jump from, say I'm playing on PC at home, I jump on the train with my Switch connected to my phone and I'm playing online and I want to play whatever, let that cross save transfer over and let me continue playing there. When I get back to the office and I'm on a laptop, if I want to jump on Game Pass and play on the laptop, long as that save progression is carried across, that's all that matters, I think. And it has to be a part of that, though, if they're going to do this.
It's a game changer. Once you have crossplay, cross progression, all that, like it's now you don't have to rely on like, oh my God, I have to play on this console because all my saves are there. Like now it's easier for you to play your game and continue playing, you know, where you stopped or whatever, you know? So like, imagine me playing like, let's say, I don't know, a new Halo game, right? And on my console, and I have to travel, I'll pick up my Steam Deck and I also have Halo through that device. Imagine me heading out, taking my Steam Deck, and I can still continue playing where I stopped at home. You know, we're going to get to see a lot of that in the future. And I think it makes sense, man. I think when you don't have cross saves, it becomes a challenge for you. Now you have to decide, okay, is it worth it buying on this console? Is it worth it buying, you know, somewhere else? It gets complicated. You know, it gets really, really complicated. I think somebody in the chat mentioned that I think there is no Monster Hunter. Who said that? Something about Monster Hunter.
Little Dust of the Monster Hunter Wilds won't have cross save.
That sucks.
Has cross play, but not cross save. It has cross play, but not cross save. And I think maybe that's where I needed to clarify what I was saying earlier. It's save progression needs to be a part of it. Crossplay, maybe if we're talking about Master Chief going across and Gears of War coming across, that's going to be interesting because that's a much larger investment from Microsoft and or PlayStation side to be able to support online play. Because now you've got a whole new slew of players that are coming on wanting to check and play the game. You're going to need to be able to support that scaled infrastructure to let people play between the two. So, I mean, I can see how it could be fun doing that, having like an Xbox and a PlayStation player and a PC player all doing like a like a Halo run, like a co-op run with all four. Can you imagine having like somebody on Switch, somebody on PC, somebody on Xbox, and somebody on PlayStation all playing in one game?
Like, I know, right?
Like having the four of us, right? Like me, you, Paris, and Rihanna do like a Master Chief Collection run on different platforms. That'd be fun. That'd be cool. I could get behind that.
So another thing too, and this also connects with this one, they're saying that Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024 and also, again, Halo Master Chief Collection are also coming to the Nintendo Switch too. And here's the thing, and this was something where this happened when we went to the event for Flight Simulator. And I think there's also videos online. You could go on YouTube where a couple of journalists or a Flight Simulator content creator asked the head of the studio that worked on Flight Sim, you know, is this game coming out on PlayStation 5? And the head said, like, look, we don't have any announcement about that yet. Right now we want to focus on, you know, fixing the game. But their goal is to have as many players as possible playing their game. And I think when we went to DICE last year, we were having the conversation with a lot of developers that were there at the event, you know, about your thoughts about seeing Xbox going multi-platform. You know what? The majority, I think every single person we talked to, there are developers, not fans, or developers that work in the industry. They all agree, like, hey, this is good for us because, most of the time, the majority of the time, when the developer work on the game, they want the majority of people to play it, not just a group of people and that's it. So they want their game to be in as many places as possible because it's going to help out to, now not only that's going to help out the studio with money, the developers too, right? But it's going to help out getting more players, man, playing the games that they've been working on for the past couple of years, you know what I'm saying? So I think this is a good thing. I don't see how this is a bad thing. I just don't see anything bad about this. I just see more players getting more content. Now you have choices where you're going to play these games. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I know last year there was, like, the whole drama about exclusive, not exclusive. People were getting mad. Again, this industry is changing, man. The industry has been changing now for, like, the past couple of years, man. And this is what we're going to get to see, you know? Don't be surprised if Sony makes this move. If it becomes successful for Xbox, mm-hmm. I could definitely see Sony doing the same exact thing. Look, nobody was saying that Sony was going to release games on PC. And look, it's been coming out on PC. I think the only one that's been date-to-date has been what? Helldivers. Helldivers 2. And I think Concord, but Concord, you know, didn't work out for them. But I could see that. What'd you think, Pete? You agree? I don't see anything wrong with this. I think this is a good thing.
I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. Again, like I said earlier, it's...
Oh, Lego Horizon. Rihanna mentioned it. Lego Horizon. There you go. Thanks.
It just goes all back to giving them the opportunity to bolster the revenue. Mm-hmm. It's a business. Everybody's trying to make money. And the only way, like I said earlier, the only way you're going to start putting numbers against that outlay of cash that they did to acquire Activision and ZeniMax is you got to sell. You got to make money. You got to make revenue. You got to start pumping in dollars. Best way to do that outside of normal sales that are just going to be dedicated to your platform, selling them elsewhere, letting them.
Yeah.
That's the only other way. And if that's the direction and it's no longer dedicated hardware, hey, look, if you're spending less on hardware development and putting that towards the offload of that, and then you're starting to bring in all these additional revenue streams from allowing to sell and play on other platforms. Look, man, that's just business decisions. You know, you're just reducing your spend and improving your revenue. I don't see
100%. I mean, look at MLB The Show. I know it's a totally different situation with that game because it was MLB that requested that to PlayStation. They need to release this as multi-platform for this game to be successful. And at the same time, it's promoting MLB. So, of course, the game came out on Xbox. It was on Game Pass. It was a huge success for the studio. More players, right? I think now the rumor is Lego Horizon might also be coming out on Xbox. Supposedly, that's a rumor. But it came out on Switch, PlayStation, and also on PC. I'm not sure if it was a success or not. But we're going to get to see more of these in the future. So, like, everybody that was, like, against this and getting on mad, all these companies, like, for making these moves, What happened if every single company start making this move? Then what? Well, what are you going to do? You're going to be mad and not play games at all? Like, it's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? So, like, look, I'm glad to see Halo and all these other games supposedly coming out for other consoles. I think that's good, man. You know, so let people play what they want, man.
Agreed. All right.
So we're going to go with this interview that I recorded back last month with Other Side Entertainment. And that's what Warren Spector's team. We sat down and talked to them about Thick as Thieves. It's coming out in the future. And we got to see some footage of like the trailer gameplay a little bit. You know, it's like some examples they could do. It looks really, really cool, the game. So we're going to sit down with them here. We're going to play on the podcast and we'll be right back after this. All right. Shout out to Warren Spector, the whole team over there. That was a great conversation with them about Thick as Thieves. That was a great conversation, man. So make sure to check out the video version. It's going to be on my YouTube channel, on X, other places. Make sure to check it out. And also on the podcast, Gamertag Radio. So Pete, anything else, Pete, before we wrap it up?
Going back to the conversation of what game that I would like to see launch with the Nintendo, the new Switch.
Yep.
Animal Crossing.
Not for launch. I think here's the thing. I can see that game year two, year three. I could definitely see that. Not for the first year. I think the first year, Mario Kart 9, a new Mario game, maybe in November.
You don't think an Animal Crossing is a system seller for them?
No, it is, but not for year one. Year two, I could definitely see that, because right now, I could see a Pokemon year one. I could definitely see that, like a new Pokemon. But the thing is, this year is to sell the hardware. It's going to be all about Mario, because this is Mario Brothers' 40th anniversary this year, right? So I think it's going to be Mario year. A year after that, I could definitely see like an Animal Crossing year two, maybe year three. I could definitely see that. But
why are you poo-pooing on all of my
dreams? No, I like Animal Crossing. I'm not against it.
I want Animal Crossing as a launch title. Danny says no. I want 4-SKU Switch. Danny says no.
Wait, you said 4-SKU? No.
I said 4-SKU Switch earlier in the show. Pay attention, Danny.
Switch. Yeah, you said multiple, but not.
I said 4-SKU Switch. Let's do it. Come on. Dream with me, dude.
It's not going to happen. Yeah, I don't know. It's not going to happen. But, I mean, it's going to be fun. I think I could definitely see Nintendo announcing this console soon, because the amount of leaks has been going around. I mean, how long are you going to stay quiet about the console? You know, I feel like every day is getting worse with leaks. CES, it was like a mock-up from a company that they showed the design, and supposedly
that wasn't the first one. We saw that a couple of weeks prior to E3 or to the show. Saw that week, you know, I want to say November is when we saw that originally.
But still, you know, we got to see stuff, and it's just getting out of hand. So it makes sense for Nintendo to announce this like soon.
It was Mad Catz, I think it was, or something right?
Was it Mad Catz? No, it wasn't Mad Catz. I can't remember who it was. But I heard, and this is a rumor, I don't know if it's real. Supposedly the lawyers went over there to CES to talk to the company. And Nintendo responded too. They said that nobody's seen, like they haven't seen the design. You know, so it's chaotic. It's really chaotic. And who is this person that's leaking all this stuff about Nintendo Switch, man? Nintendo Switch 2. Like, come on, man. Getting ridiculous, man. It's getting ridiculous.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
So first thing first, we'd like to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit more about your new studio.
I'm Warren Spector. I'm the co-founder of Other Side Entertainment and chief creative officer. We were founded to take the next steps in immersive simulations, a game that Paul Narath, my co-founder, and I pioneered in games like Underworld and System Shock and Thief and Deus Ex and Epic Mickey.
So nobody yes, really I love saw that.
Now Thick as Thieves, working with these guys.
I'm Greg LaPiccolo. I'm the game director. I've been making games for some time. I actually game directed the first Thief back in the day, and then spent a lot of time making music games at Harmonix in the meantime. Now I'm back working with Warren and Paul.
And I'm David McDonough. I'm the lead designer on Thick as Thieves. Excited to talk to you guys today about it.
Awesome. I know you guys worked on a lot of projects in the past. What makes this game different than your previous projects? Start with Warren.
Thick as Thieves is definitely different than our earlier projects in a variety of ways. I mean, one is it's multiplayer. My only experience with multiplayer was the two-player mode in Epic Mickey, The Power of Two, which was kind of an experiment. This is a full-on multiplayer game. It's also the first time, for me anyway, making a campaign-oriented game. That's entirely new. And the other thing is we're trying to change the in a sense, the pacing of the immersive simulation to make it more stealth action than just stealth. So a little different than I'm used to, at least. And thankfully have some great folks here to pass it on to.
Yeah, but tell us a little bit more about Thick as Thieves. I know during your presentation, you guys mentioned a lot about replay value, how important it is. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a thief versus thief game where everything is variable and dynamic and emergent. You're trying to play a thief game, steal, infiltrate, not get caught, in a world that's full of systems. So everything that you touch affects everything else, and all of your actions kind of ripple out. But your rival thieves are hopefully just as smart as you are, and they're doing the same thing. So their actions are rippling onto you. You can meet them face to face in combat, or just only get the after effects of their behavior when you walk into a room full of angry guards and a broken window, and they were just here 2 minutes ago. So that's the kind of dynamism that we think is the heart of this game. It's an excellent immersive sim for a person by themselves, but when two thieves or three thieves or four thieves compete, it becomes exponentially more interesting.
Yeah, I know the trailer, this different type of thieves, right? Which one is like the ones that you guys love to use the most for yourself as a fan?
Well, one of the ones that I'm excited about, I think we are all excited about right now, is one of the thieves uses disguise, which gives us, you know, you can basically just sample like a guard, assume their likeness. And then there's a lot of craft in like behaving like the AI guards behave to try to fool the other human players. And when it works, it's incredibly satisfying.
And for you?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely true. I like playing a lot as the spider character, which you see in the trailer, using her like grappling hook thing, which we call a zip wire. There's no character more agile, and being able to just sort of Batman up onto roofs and then back down again and sort of lurk in the shadows is really satisfying. Like to be hanging around in the rafters of a room and see like another thief walking around getting chased by the guards on the floor below and nobody knows that you're there, that's also very satisfying.
Warren?
Well, it's a lot of fun watching someone in disguise get caught by another player doing something that they shouldn't be doing in the guise of a guard. So failure is kind of fun as well as success. But, you know, just watching the zip wire in action is pretty incredible. Again, you know, given that one of the key elements of the game, the concept that the game started with was stealth action. Seeing the stealth action in action is pretty exciting.
Yeah, what is it that you think is going to make people to come back a lot and playing this game a lot against other players? Is it more because of the loot? Is it because of the story? What is it they think is going to make people to come back and play? And also because it's fun too, you know, but.
Yeah, I think, I mean, these guys may have a different answer. I think it's the combination of elements that they've never experienced before. Multiplayer stealth is something that's pretty new. The campaign oriented approach to narrative, the player narratives, the player character narratives, that's something that I think players are really going to like. The fact that you can kind of pick your play style. We support the hunter character, the ghost character. So you know, there's always another way to solve problems. So if you're terrible at combat, you can try sneaking. You know, if you're terrible at dealing with guards, go to the rooftops. I think the variety of play and the replayability is going to be a really strong draw.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would have said in terms of replayability. Just how many things can change, how much you one mission is different from another, and how like you can play a mission 100 times and the 101st time it'll still surprise you. That's pretty special when a game could do that, and that's, I think, the principal draw of this one.
I guess the thing I would add that we haven't talked about too much, but we've put a huge amount of effort into the world, like the backstory in terms of like the families and the different brands and the stores, and you know, there's like a wealth of detail, and it's just a really fun place to be for a while. It's cruising down these like atmospheric streets and going to shops and so forth. It's like the depth and richness of the world building.
And all the world was going to be dark, or are there going to be like any daytime, or?
So there's a full weather system in daylight. So it can be heavy rain. There can be deep fog. There can be sort of, you know,
thunderstorms.
Huh?
Thunderstorms.
Yes. We have thunderstorms in, you know, and all that affects the AI perception. Like if it's fog, they can't see as far and so forth.
Nice. Oh, yeah. That's definitely going to make it difficult for people once they start, you know, competing and everything because of the weather system.
Yeah, you've got to take that into account. It's like, okay, it's the sunset. Okay, a bunch of the places where I usually hide in the shadows aren't available this time around.
Yeah. Warren, you were going to say something before? Sorry about that.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, there's so much going on in here and so much variety of experience, and so much of it is in the player's control. I think players are ready for a new kind of experience. I mean, this is not just get the biggest gun, put your cursor over that other player, pull the trigger, and you know, go. It's a unique experience, and I think players are ready for that.
Are you guys gonna plan to do anything unique also with voice chat? You know, playing with other players online, maybe you could talk to them once you defeat them. I mean, I don't know if there's anything you guys have planned, or is it just going to be like a normal voice chat? I could talk to anybody or in the game.
At this time, we don't have any details to share on integrating community features into the game itself. But
okay,
hopefully we have more of that to show.
All right. Cool. And beta. Any information about beta? You have any dates or anything?
No, I'm afraid we don't have anything on that either. We're really excited to do it eventually.
It's all good. All right, so my last question. Why the name Dick of Thieves, as Thieves?
Well, it was one that that Paul and I came up with at the beginning, and we like it. Oh, wait, okay. No, you know, the name of the game is really important. And you definitely don't want to pick a name that no one can pronounce, like Deus Ex, for example. You want something that kind of describes the game. And when you say Thick as Thieves, it tells you exactly what the experience is going to be. So I think it's a really powerful name. It's a good name. It describes the game that these guys are making. So what better name could we have come up with?
Thanks for the interview. Thanks for the opportunity for us to check out the game early. I'm very excited to try it out once it comes out in a couple of years. I want to say one more thing, man. I love Epic Make, man, and I just want to give you props on that game, man. Love the first one, and second one is good, but I think the first one was a very important game for me.
Thank you, I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks, man.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, guys, so we're going to wrap it up. Remember, tomorrow, very important announcement. Tomorrow, 6 a.m. Pacific time. Stay tuned. Gamertag Radio 20th anniversary. We're celebrating all year long, not just the month of February, all year long. So Boy. It's going to be a couple of surprises. And also next week, the next episode, I have an interview with the developers that are working. They're working on the new Dying Light game. So stay tuned for that. All right. So we're going to wrap it up. Until next time, everyone. We're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.